Thank you very much. My name is John Culp. I'm Deputy Director of CHEER. I have with me Ken Bach, who's the other Deputy Director of CHEER. Arlene Littleton, who's the Executive Director of CHEER, wanted to be here this morning, but she went to the hospital with back problems. So you're dealing with a second string. But I think we can pretty well tell you what Arlene had on her mind. I'll try very much to be concise. There has already been some correspondence between us about some of the things that CHEER has approached the council for. My purpose this morning is really to update you on what's happening at the state level, because senior services in Sussex County this coming year are almost certainly going to take a hit, and that's something that none of us are going to feel very good about, and I want to quantify for the council what that's going to look like. The legislature is certainly aware of our situation. We've spent the last 2 months or so putting out position papers, visiting people. We had a legislative breakfast for our legislators. We've done personal visits. What I'm about to say to you will be no mystery to the state legislature. On the sheet that I gave you, a little editorializing at the beginning there about who our clients are, and I'm really saying this more to the public than to this council, because the council knows. But I think it's important for people to know that the client base that CHEER serves is on average about 80 years old, 73% are below the poverty level, and 87% of them live alone, okay? You know, I think some of the influx of the boomers masks some of the reality in the county. We're under tremendous cost pressure, much of which is reflected, same sorts of numbers as you have in your budget. Our utility costs have doubled, which I think is about the same number that you're showing in our seven centers. Our fuel costs are up 50 or 60%. We have 40 vehicles that we operate, 18 of which are the buses that are that serve our senior centers. you show the same sorts of numbers. Our insurance costs are up 20%. Our workman's compensation insurance this year went up to almost $200,000. That's an enormous amount of money for CHEER. This council, I'm sure, knows very well the workman's compensation insurance situation in Delaware. Our liability and property insurance is another $150,000 for CHEER. These are huge numbers, and they're up 20%. We also feel that we must give our employees a 2.5% cost of living allowance. That's in our numbers. We have to retain people. Without people, of course, we have no program. You're doing some of the same thing. Our nutrition funding, nutrition, of course, is our meals in our senior centers and Meals on Wheels. As this council knows, CHEER does Meals on Wheels for almost the entire county with the exception of Lewis and Rehoboth. It's a huge, huge effort every day of the week involving 400 volunteers over the course of a year. The funding for those efforts from the state was below the cost of inflation last year and will be flat this coming year. That's what we are told. As a result, the meals in our senior centers will decrease from 92,000 meals to about 78,000 meals. Now, how we're going to do that, I don't know. We have to turn people away or say no, and we are still figuring out how you do that. However you do that, it's not pleasant. Our homebound meals also will go from 106,000 funded by the state to, again, about 78,000. That probably will be done on a point system. People who in the past who qualified, our outreach workers, go out and analyze every situation. Those people who in the past would have gotten some help trying desperately to stay in their homes will no longer get that help. These are very difficult things, and as a society, to editorialize, I don't feel very good about what we're going to have to do. In our transportation program, this will be the fourth straight year of no increase. This year, after being squeezed for that long, we finally have to drop a bus. That will be 8,000 trips, 8,000 different times people won't come to our centers. DART, if anybody picks up this travel, DART will do that, which is ludicrous because DART's cost to haul somebody is a great deal more than ours. It's really more cost effective to give CHEER the money. In the letter that we wrote, Mr. Stickles, I think we quantified for this council that we needed about $40,000 or $50,000 to keep that bus running. Our home services, which again is unskilled services, bathing and maintenance and assistance in the home will be reduced 3,500 client service hours, and Mr. Bach can better tell you about that, but that is probably several dozens of individuals who are trying to stay in their home. Again, it is ludicrous for CHEER not to do this service because all the alternatives are more expensive. Other needs that we have, of course, we have been engaging in, we're trying to do more with less. We've been engaging using money from the Delaware Community Foundation in a transportation study of the council, of the county, to better utilize our buses and the buses of others like KSI. We have approached the council about helping us with a pilot program, which would be in everybody's interest. And our center at Greenwood is in bad shape, and at some point we'd like to replace that center. That's probably something that's going to wait in the face of these more immediate operating needs. Anyway, that's a summary, gentlemen, of where CHEER stands. We don't feel very good about it, but that looks like the reality. Any questions? Ken, do you have anything you want to add? No. Any questions? Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
Dan Costello, Preservation Delaware.
It's Dan Costello from Bethany Beach, Delaware. I'm on the board of trustees of a statewide, not-for-profit, historic preservation organization. It's called Preservation Delaware. And I've been working here as a volunteer in Sussex County with the forming of a countywide historic preservation group that we're calling Historic Sussex. It's been a year, nearly a year, since Sussex County lost its historic preservation planner to the state of Colorado. From the calls that I get and the requests for help that I receive from people throughout Sussex County, I can attest to the fact that we greatly need in Sussex County the assistance and the help, the insights of a qualified, trained historic preservation planner. There are literally dozens of important historic preservation issues popping up in this county on a regular basis, and over the weekend the destruction of Linden Hall outside of Bridgeville, one of the county's oldest farmhouses. Built in the 1740s, the first part of it, but it's gone. It's a National Historic Register property, and it's gone. There are threats to resources. This is a fast-growing county, and only counties that grow fast, they're the places where threats to historic resources are at the highest level. I'm not going into a laundry list of the places that we've been asked to help. From Bridgeville to Lewis to Rehoboth, all over the county, Ocean View. We do ask for and receive assistance from the State Historic Preservation Office. It's good assistance. It's limited. The county is, in my view, our partner, and I mean collectively the private historical societies, the small museums, the folks interested in heritage tourism and preservation generally. The county's our partner, the state's our partner. We need somebody in the county government who, and so I don't have to call on my friend Bob Stickles for help whenever there's a problem like Woodland Ferry. If we have somebody who's a historic preservation person and can help us with dozens of problems that we have, we would greatly appreciate it. It's a position that the county's had, and we
need to. You're not asking for money, you're asking that the county get an individual back on our staff.
That's correct.
Okay, I agree. That's refreshing. Bob, could you elaborate? Is there any with the personnel situation? We did have Brian Page, who had a lot of support throughout the county for his efforts and stuff.
The position we're looking at filling now is that we're going to fill it with an engineer position.
An engineer?
Yes, whose responsibility would be to see that we comply with the historic requirements for federal, state, and grants, and that we refer it to the state SHPO.
So in other words, the individual won't have any background probably in like being a historical planner. He's just going to be an engineer.
Right. An engineer who would make sure that we're complying with the historic planning requirements.
Was there any effort to try to fill the historical planner?
We have advertised
as a planner, not as an engineer. I mean, as that position that we lost, did we ever look to see getting? Because I thought he was very helpful with our sewer districts and a lot of the stuff.
I would prefer not talking about an individual.
Oh, okay. I'm just saying. I always thought that position I had heard was effective. You're implying it wasn't as effective.
You're implying that, and then that I don't. I would rather not talk about. We have advertised the position. We have not been satisfied with the applicants that we have received. We have a need in engineering for project engineers, and we've decided to fill that slot with a project engineer whose responsibilities would make sure that we comply with the historic planning requirements for that and would encompass that.
I guess Mr. Stickles is uncomfortable because of personnel. We have an executive session at 11:45. Maybe it's something we could discuss.
If you want to broaden that to take
it wasn't part of the agenda, right? You're saying, Mr. Phillips, are you?
Correct.
I just would like to add before
Costello would like to suggest someone to apply to Mr. Cordry. We would be glad to look at that.
Yeah. Bob, I don't have a candidate, but I know some people who have expressed great interest in the position.
We have the same frustrations with the state SHPO that you have. They're not doing their job. If you want to discuss that, if they were, that wouldn't have happened. What happened in Bridgeville this weekend?
I agree.
We could turn this into a bashing of what's wrong with the state.
I don't want to bash anybody. I'm just wondering.
Here wouldn't be here if the state was doing their job.
Let's get back, folks.
Could I remind you that our idea is to hear the public's input, right, not to raise
my
new issues.
My last budget hearing. Let's listen. But I still got eight General Assembly sessions I got
to
get
Bob, do you want to go back to what the retirees will be receiving?
November 1st.
Let's finish up.
I apologize to the council for this.
See what you've done.
Continue on.
Just the last point is that the county comprehensive plan, both in 1997 and in the update 5 years later, lists a whole series of functions, very specific functions for an historic preservation planner. And these are county functions. We have our fights with the state, Bob, and this is not a fight with the county. It's just that these are functions that have been identified by Sussex County as long ago as 10 years as things that ought to be done to protect historic resources in the county. And I think to get those things enacted or implemented, we need an historic preservation plan.
Mr. Costello is correct. We have had troubles filling that position, and at this time we chose to fill it with an engineer who would look at what we needed right now for the $240,000 worth of capital work that we're doing.
Okay. Yeah, because Brian came and came. And Brian did an excellent job, but we just couldn't keep him here. That's all.
Yeah, I know.
Two go-arounds, and
we,
I understand.
We regret it more than you do, I think. Thanks very much. I appreciate
Thank
it.
Thank you.
Next, Mimi DuPont, Del Tech.
Morning, Councilman. Morning. Mr. Stickles. I'm here on behalf of Vice President and Campus Director Ileana Smith and the administrators, the faculty, the staff, and students of Delaware Tech. Owens campus at home here in Georgetown, and I'm here to ask for $20,000 toward the completion of our Agriculture Education Center. Phase one of this building, which is already completed, was substantially funded by a $50,000 grant from U.S. Department of Agriculture and their Rural Business Enterprise grant, and by campus monies, state and local. Phase two will complete the building interior, providing two classrooms and a large equipment lab for agriculture equipment to support the 120 students we have in our four associate degree programs, four diploma programs, and four certificate programs, all in applied agriculture. The total cost for phase two is $75,000, but that figures only two-thirds of what it would actually be if we hired subcontractors. Our administrative services staff is able to save us about $37,000 by doing the work in-house, and we're asking for $20,000 toward that $75,000. We very much respect the process that provided the budget that's before you today, but we have some significant needs for facilities on campus. We're expecting more than twice, probably close to three times the number of immediate high school graduates that usually come to the Owens campus as a result of the SEED program. Our training program for certified nursing assistants is now looking for a new spot. They've been displaced from their lab because due to the generosity of the state legislature trying to deal with the nursing shortage, we now have so many nursing students that they need all of the labs all day and all evening. We have a complete evening program as well as a day program. So as you consider the request from the Owens campus for a contribution toward the Agriculture Education Center, please keep in mind that this is for Sussex Countyans. More than 90% of Delaware Tech students live and work in Delaware. More than 80% of our own campus graduates are from Sussex County. More than 90% of them go to work in the fields that they're trained for here, but only 55% of our budget actually comes from the state, and the rest we need to make up in other places. And a third of Delaware's, or Sussex County's 25 top employers listed in the this year's county profile are directly related to agriculture. We hope that you will assist our students as you consider the final vote on the budget today. Thanks very much, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Next, Bill McGowan, University of Delaware.
Morning, gentlemen.
Morning.
I'm Bill McGowan, University of Delaware, and I'm here on behalf of Mark Isaacs, the director of the Research and Education Center. And we're here before you to request an increase in the extension. Well, first off, thank you, though, for your continued support of Cooperative Extension and the Carville Research and Education Center. What we'd like to ask you this year is to increase our extension line by $25,000 to partially support the salary of Mike Love, who we would like to move to a safety agent in this county. Currently, Mike is a community traffic safety agent or specialist, completely funded by the state with duties in both Sussex and Kent County. We've also been informed, or not been informed, we now know that Ron Jester has finally announced his retirement. As you know, that's been kind of a rolling game for about the past 2 years, but Ron has over 30 years with Extension. Took him a while to kindly make the decision to retire, and he finally is, and that's as of June 30th. So what we're really trying to do with this position is to kind of control our own destiny and bring a more advanced and targeted safety program to Sussex County. Both Mike's line and Ron's line were funded through federal and state funds and very focused. In other words, no flexibility in the program. What we'd like to do with Mike's line is begin to focus more on Sussex County. The area of community traffic safety is always a big one. And having shared the office with Mike for about 3 years, I don't know how the guy does what he does. I mean, he can be in two or three places at one time, but the program is very aggressive. The issue of homeland security continues to evolve, and Extension has a national network for homeland security resources. So Mike's ability to network and work with the county's homeland security pieces is also an asset. The notion of ag safety. With Ron Jester retiring, there is a void not only in Sussex County, but on the entire Eastern Shore for agricultural safety issues. The counties in the Lower Eastern Shore of Maryland now have to call either Ron or they're calling agents in Western Sussex County. Ron's been able to take care of Sussex, but with his leaving, we have a void, and that void will just, we have no actually focus on how to fill that void at this time to focus more on Sussex County issues. Workplace safety, always an issue. And lastly, the notion of childhood injury prevention. This county's growing, as you know. Young folks, old folks, safety is a major issue, and Mike Love is probably one of the most aggressive and conscientious people I know to fill that position. So with your help, what we'd like to do is $25,000 from the county, couple that with the entire position is $65,000, take the county money, find some support from the state, or take state funds and be able to focus the safety program in Sussex County. Thank you very much. Any questions? Thanks.
Kevin Gilmore, Habitat.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for the time this morning. I'm Kevin Gilmore with Sussex County Habitat for Humanity. I serve as the executive director. Some good organizations here this morning doing good work in the community. I want to offer Habitat as one solution to the problems we face around affordable housing. As a primarily volunteer-run organization, not only do we focus on providing simple, decent, and affordable housing to people in need, but we also work to engage our communities around this solution. As we grow to address the tremendous need, I want to thank you, the Sussex County Council, for your continued support of our work. You are true partners in helping Habitat help others. As you may know, only a few years ago, we were building a house a year. This last year, we completed 4 homes, and the year ahead of us, we expect to complete 6 homes. While this is only a drop in the bucket for the huge housing need we have in the county, it makes a world of difference to those families who are occupying and buying those houses. 2 recent families, if you just ask the Abruzzi family, a single mother of 3 children who recently moved in Ellendale, or the Conquest family in the same situation, I think they would say that it has changed their lives and the lives of their children. Or you can ask one of the hundreds of volunteers who help make this program work. Those who give their time in interviewing and counseling families, those who staff our office on a daily basis, or those who actually help build the houses, how this program impacts their lives. We currently have 3 projects underway. One is our first 2-story house here in Georgetown, it's near completion. This is totally sponsored by the Lewis Rehoboth Association of Churches. They're providing both the funds, the volunteer leadership, and the construction leadership to build this house. We're currently renovating a house which was donated by the county, by the council last year on South Bedford Street. We'll soon move that to a nearby property and sell that to a family in need. And a new partnership with Lowe's in Lewis, where we're building a house in the parking lot. And then we'll move that house to our Concord Village project in about 3 months when that's done. This is generating a lot of interest in supporting Habitat with volunteers and funds. On Thursday, we're on the agenda, I understand, for the planning and zoning meeting to present our final site plan for Concord Village. This will be our first subdivision where we hope to build 19 homes on a piece of property on German Road near Seaford. I ask that you keep Habitat in mind as you decide how to spend the county's money this next year. We're working hard to keep our house costs down, but this is difficult with rising land costs and construction costs. Homes were only a few years ago, we were selling for $75,000, now costing us $105,000 and up. We're in need of land for future projects, land for a future office, financial assistance for projects like Concord Village. For Concord Village, we've raised approximately $1 million of our $2.5 million necessary to build these 19 homes. The $50,000 we've requested of the county is equal to about what it costs us in construction materials and services to construct a Habitat house. We look forward to this continued partnership with the county as we work to engage the people of Sussex County in addressing affordable housing. We've traditionally worked one house at a time, And with a project like Concord Village, for the first time, we're going to be able to work one community at a time. And we hope to see this kind of continued growth. Thanks again for your support.
Thank you.
Deb Schiffer. Interfaith Mission.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I am Deb Schiffer, Executive Director of Interfaith Mission of Sussex County. We incorporated in the Ocean View Millville area in 1990. We do serve the whole county in our various programs. In recent years, we've done a lot of work in Georgetown in this area because many of the state funds are attributed to this area. I do have a handout which I'll start.
Thank you.
And I want to say my thoughts and kudos are with all of my fellow organizations who are here today talking about affordable housing and indeed all of the issues that come before your plate. I don't envy you your job. I also want to say thank you and kudos to you as a council for your work on the moderately priced housing program in the last year and a half, of which we were honored to be a part. A greatly needed resource in the county and looking to be successful already. But as you know, Interfaith Mission serves the population whose incomes fall below that moderately priced housing group. Our last request to you was in late 2004 to develop a what we called single adult workforce housing here in Georgetown. And we did, with your help, purchase Adams Street. And that has become a successful duplex housing. 9 single adult working men in safe, decent, affordable housing, very different conditions from what they had been housed in. And Adam Streets joins our other project, Acorn Acres, with a good reputation with the town and with the neighbors. And we're grateful for that. And, you know, we do to provide the management that makes that that possible. We're asking you to consider contribution to a new program we have, one that we're really excited about and one that has grown out of a unique local resource. And as my 5 years as director of Interfaith has evolved, I've received a number of calls from people who are moving out an old beach house or tearing down an old beach house because they want to build bigger, better, newer on the site that they have, and we all know why. But in the past, when I got those calls, they'd say, gee, our home has been a wonderful home for us. We'd like it to be a wonderful home for someone else who really needs it. And I'd say, terrific, how long do we have? And they'd say, 3 weeks. And, you know, we can't find a site and do all of what needs to be done to get it ready to move even a generously contributed home in 3 weeks. And that was very typical. So it became clear to us that you know, what can we do to utilize this local, unique resource? So we decided to start buying some acquiring scattered sites so that the next time someone calls, we can take that home, put it on site, and sell it at a greatly reduced below market rate as affordable housing for a family in Sussex County. Now, there will be times when we have a piece of land and we don't have a house that's been donated that's appropriate. Not every house is. Some can't be moved. Some are too expensive to move. Some are in bad shape, whatever. And if that's the case, then we're also developing a second track where we can work with manufacturers at reduced rates and put new construction on the site. And we do have a local development team of a local house mover and builders and contractors and so forth, or realtors, to help us make all of this happen. And it's an exciting opportunity to take these local resources and these partnerships and make housing affordable for families who otherwise might never afford a home in Sussex County. We're also working with local homeownership counseling programs who have families with qualified mortgage applications sitting on the desk. And they've been sitting there for a year because there is no home available for $130,000. And most of those families do qualify. The majority qualify for the $130,000 to the $150,000 range for home purchase, some as high as $175,000. And that's the group that we are targeting. We're asking for $100,000 to subsidize the purchase of 4 to 5 of these home sites and the construction or donation of these homes over the coming year, and to help with the cost of operations to make that happen. We've already acquired 2 sites. We're actively seeking others. We plan to increase the number of units to 10 within the next 3 years, 10 per year. And with the developers' fees and so forth, this program will self-perpetuate. As it gets into place, we'll be able to fund it, to self-fund it, rather than have to come back and continue asking for appeals. So this initial grant will actually do a lot more than just the first 4 to 5 homes. In addition, we're also exploring partnerships with at least one of the local community land trusts to see whether some of this home might also become perpetually affordable. Interfaith is positioned for growth. We've done everything that we've done in the last few years, in fact, you know, since our inception, with basically one full-time staff person. That's me. But we are looking to grow significantly in just a very short term. And to that end, we're also moving our corporate offices to Georgetown to be better located for accessibility and working in collaboration with all the groups that we do work with. So I just want to thank you for your time and for the opportunity to present this and see if you have any questions. There is information attached that gives you an idea of what the cost might be. For
how. Gotcha. Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Marlena Gibson, Diamond State Community Land Trust.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. I just want to start off by saying I really appreciated the opportunity to present to you all in November. It's been exciting that we've made such a great deal of progress since then, and it's great to be able to come back such a short time later and be able to say we have so many more irons in the fire. At that point, many of our projects were prospective and were developing, and now we have several that are really starting to get on the ground. In just a little over a year, we've gone from just being a planning committee to having our first projects getting on the ground. Fiscal year 2007, we're really looking at being our startup year, hiring our first staff, getting our first offices together, and most importantly, getting our first projects going. Earlier this year, we sent a letter requesting a very large amount. We certainly understand that such a large investment isn't possible right now, and sent a revised letter requesting $102,000 a few weeks ago that would support projects that we have currently going on, 3 perpetually affordable homes, and also operations, helping us get our offices going. As I said, we have several projects in development. Almost all of those are in Sussex. We really have focused on Sussex County. We understand that's where affordable housing needs are greatest right now and where we see the most opportunity for us to play a role in developing affordable homes. We really see our role as stimulating the production of affordable homes and then ensuring the preservation of those homes, that investments like the ones that the county makes in affordable housing are preserved long-term, particularly in such an active real estate market. Several projects that we have going on right now are partnerships with towns. That's one of the items we're requesting support for. Partnerships with, like, the city of Seaford is one we have active right now and are pursuing several others to help do infill development in struggling neighborhoods for homeownership, perpetually affordable homeownership. We're also very excited to be possibly playing a role in the MPHU program with partnership with the county there on the development of those homes. We have working on a buyer-initiated program through which folks could go out and identify their own homes. They'd be pre-qualified, and then instead of the CLT or its partners developing homes themselves, they would go out on the open market, identify the home of their choice, and then through subsidy provided through the CLT, it will be brought into our portfolio. Another exciting thing we're working on is partnerships with nonprofits. Many of the ones you've seen today, how we can help bring the homes that they're already creating into perpetual affordability. And we're certainly looking forward to a very active and productive year. We certainly need your help to make that happen. I think the county's investment will be a really important first start for us. It'll mean a great deal for all our other fundraising to have the support of the county early on. We're only asking for support for 3 homes, although we certainly plan to do a great deal more than that in the coming year. So 20 is our goal for the coming year, and our 5-year goal is 200. Yes. Also, I just want to note that we're certainly focusing on 79% and below, and even lower if we can. The price ranges that are most difficult to find, the homes that really are not on the market right now, 115 to 135, up to 150, those price ranges that are just really, really hard to find. And I hope you'll consider our request. I really appreciate the opportunity to be here today, and I very much appreciate that the county is paying attention to affordable housing. We are certainly grateful for all your support.
Thank you.
Any questions? Thank you.
Walt Reynolds, Sussex County Firemen's Association.
Thank you. My name is Walt Reynolds from Lewis, Delaware, also president of Sussex County Firemen's Association. I'd like to take this time, to thank you for your continued support, the support you have shown us in the past and in the present, and we hope the future. Along with me, I have several members of the fire service from throughout Sussex County. Again, thank you. And this allows us to provide such a fine service to the citizens of this county. Thank you.
Thank you. Helena Hibbs, Delmarva, Clearly United in Social Action, Inc.
I'd like to say greetings to everyone. My name is Helena Gibbs, and I am from Delmarva Clergy United in Social Action in Allendale. On behalf of Bishop Major Foster, I am here today. My proposal was already submitted to Lynn Rogers, in which he was asked me to come and speak here to see whether or not I could fit the program into the $25,000 that we could be able to receive also. My proposal is toward providing a means for residents in local low-income communities to move them from dependent to independent individuals. And we had started out with goals, and our goals were, well, first let me back up. We has been incorporated since 1986. And my goals is to improve self-esteem in the community, to decrease literacy, to help decrease child abuse, to increase the knowledge and technology skill, to decrease juvenile crime, alcohol, drugs within the area, to curtail those individuals of the low income and disadvantages, improve or enhance the lives of others. And what we did, we took the objectives and every one of our goals that we had seeked out to work, they have been successfully and have been approved. We have a soup kitchen that operates 3 days a week, and so far this year we have fed 3,102 individuals. We have a teen crisis class that we set and we counsel young boys and girls that's in the street to get them off in the street. That is operated 2 days a week also. We have a GED class, which is accredited. The classes that I'm speaking of, they all are accredited classes that we have on our site, and we served over 150 individuals on this year. We have transportation services that we provide that we serve 3,100 individuals. We have a shelter home. We served 600 individuals on this year. And we have 4 double-wide mobile homes that where we have, they had mainstreamed from the shelter and where they would showed that they was could be independent living individuals. So those programs are constantly going on and constantly the needs of those individuals are being met. We have individuals that come to us quite frequently that's in the need. Again, we are in the Allendale area. We are not in the town of Allendale. We're not in the town of Georgetown. This just happened to be a group of low-income individuals that's often sometimes that's overlooked because of their locations may not always be included in the censor group, but they do exist. And the way our budget is $281,000 a year, and it is being provided through some is funding from Citizen Bank, PNC, Wilmington Trust, Delaware Electric, grant and aid AmeriCorps and some of the local communities that's also help us out in the area to help the people. But you're looking at a group of people that's trying to meet that budget to make it work for the low self-esteem individuals. So we're looking at poor, helping poor, trying to get where they need to be. It's a great program. It's geared toward anybody that would like to better themselves. We are seekers as well as providers. So we do try to get those individuals. When we have our classes, we have child care provided. All of these services, also I want to say, they are no charge for these services. We actually do this because it's something that we like to do. I'm not trying to stand up here and seek funding for salary or anything like that. No, you have a group of volunteers that does this type of work. And, you know, and I am part of it. Well, please, love helping individuals that don't help. But also I'm here to see if you could help meet some of those needs that where you can help give us something, some part of the budget fit us in there some kind of way so that we can continue this mission. We feel as though this mission is a very needful mission, and it is everywhere. Poverty is everywhere, and you have to kind of submit yourself to do what you think you need to help individuals do. I mean, some wasn't there before, that there's others that has witnessed have been there and know sometimes it's kind of rough when you are trying to get started. So we give everybody a chance in one way or the other to help them better themselves. And it has worked for the teenagers. I mean, I don't know about the rate, but I do know that we have 125 teenagers that we do serve. That's weekly, two nights a week, and that is getting them off in the street. And that's a joy just knowing that I can be a part of that. So, is there any questions or?
What do you mean by serving them twice a week?
They come in and they get counseling, they participate in the activities, and they also, we geared them toward college. We had at least six individuals to graduate on this year, and we did get scholarships elsewhere for them to help them to go to college. So our main focus is that to keep the boys and girls off in the street in that little section, that little area that was, you know, individuals just don't know that it exists, but it's there.
Thank you.
So.
Okay. Thank you very much.
No other questions? Well, thank you for hearing my concern.
Thank you, ma'am.
Andre Beaumont, Primeros Pasos.
Thank you. I have a handout. My name is Andre Beaumont. I live in Millsboro, and I'm here on behalf of the Board of Directors of Primeros Pasos. We are a nonprofit 501c3 organization. We were founded about 6 years ago, and our goal is to provide state-of-the-art child care to low-income children in the Georgetown area. We have purchased a 1.39-acre piece of property on Savannah Road, and we have architects' elevations. We've had the zoning approved for a daycare facility, and we think we're in a very good neighborhood. We have a family next to us. The Feldman Foundation is intending to put up multifamily housing in back of us. The Everton family has also purchased property, and they intend to put up multifamily housing. And I believe that next to the Feldman Foundation Group, Habitat has looked at some property and maybe has acquired property. I'm not sure, but anyway, we heard that they were also looking in that area. Our program has been seeking funds, and I should at this time thank you, because last year you did give us a $25,000 grant, and certainly I hope that you might be able to consider that again for this year. We have about $500,000 in grants and pledges in hand now, and a lot of fingers out there reaching to the foundations and hoping we'll get more money. In conclusion, I'd like to say that this is really not an investment in a building. It's an investment in human beings. We will be serving children from 6 weeks to 4 years, and it is an established fact that money expended on the care and education and development of children at this very young age pays tremendous dividends in the future, plus tremendous savings in remedial education, what have you, all the problems that may have happen for kids that are haven't had a good solid base in their early years. So it's really an investment in human growth, and I'm happy that your theme is the next generation. We're about the next generation too. So thank you very much. Any questions?
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you.
George Parrish, Clerk of the Peace.